Appleton. I'm a radio host at Sports 1140 KHTK here in Sacramento, the flagship station of your Sacramento Kings. Got another good one for you today. Got a couple ideas as to what the Kings should do with their number two overall draft pick, as well as some things in free agency that they should be looking to do as well. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another solid one here for you today. Just wanted to get a little house cleaning out of the way as well. I just wanted to say thanks for sticking around. I was actually out of town this last 4 or 5 days at a wedding. So that's why we are doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. As I've mentioned before, we're going 3 days a week during the summer. Usually it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but schedules do change. So thank you for being patient with me. Going to have some good podcasts for you this week. And then also, I just wanted to mention, because I'm one of those guys, you know, when you send a text and it might have a typo in it and you try and ignore it, or a tweet or something, and you just can't, you have to go back and fix it. That's me. Proper grammar in text, tweets, all that. Or I try, at least. I may not be perfect. But I had mentioned, I think in a podcast a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, that the Kings were picking 36th overall in the second round. That is incorrect. It's 37th. So I just wanted to make sure I get that out there. It's been weighing on me for a while. So just want to make sure I give you guys the correct info. So on draft night, you're not sitting there going, I thought, the Kings trade down one spot? And I also expect you're all on top of it too, listening, knowing that I was wrong. So anyways, Kings picked 37th overall in the NBA draft in the second round, which is another prime spot. That 30 to 40 range, you can still find good players. I mean, we saw the Warriors do it recently. Ivan Rabb, I think, is going to be a solid player who went, 35 last year. You know, Draymond Green was a 35th overall pick. DeAndre Jordan, you know, we can go through the history of it. But it's a good spot to be in. And especially in this year's draft, as I dig a little deeper, and maybe I'm just a sucker, but, you know, this feels like a pretty deep draft. You may not find the superstar at 37, but you can easily find a contributor. There's specialists, I guess you could say, in that range in this year's draft. Guys who are heavy defense, heavy offense, guys who are great playmakers, may not be, you know, great scorers yet, things like that. So I'm actually pretty intrigued by this the late draft picks here in this draft, because it seems like there's contributors. And that's the other thing with the Kings is, yeah, it'd be great to find a superstar at 2 and at 37. Or maybe they make another trade and, you know, whatever. It'd be great to find a superstar with every pick. But that's not going to happen. So now you need to start finding role players. And that's one of the good things I'd say about last year's draft, is at the very least, they found role players, if not stars. Justin Jackson, I don't know how good he will or won't be, but he's an NBA player. De'Aaron Fox, likewise. I think he'll get better. I don't know if he'll ever reach superstardom, but he's an NBA player. Frank Mason. Those are all NBA players. Harry Giles, we'll see, but I'm pretty confident that he's a guy that's going to have a career as well, which I know is a low bar to cross, but for the Kings, that's a positive, just step in the right direction, because as we know, Papi Giannis, Malachi Richardson, they're you know, can't find the floor wherever they are. So I think this is a solid draft for the later picks. I mean, there's guys like Jared Vanderbilt, who is a defensive menace, about 6'8", 215, can play some small ball five. There's talk of him late first, early second. He's kind of been everywhere because he is such a defensive specialist, I guess you could say. His offense definitely needs some work, but I think in the right position, he could be one hell of a player, one hell of a piece. and you want to surround him with shooters because of his lack of shooting, well, you know what the Kings do pretty damn well? They shoot the rock. You know, you get him out there with Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Justin Jackson, I think, will improve his shooting. It obviously wasn't great. But, yeah, you get him out there with some shooters, you're going to be all right. Another guy, and this is going to be confusing, but Justin Jackson out of Maryland. I know, another Justin Jackson. I just also think it would be funny to have two Justin Jacksons on the same team, but that's neither here nor there. I think the Kings have drafted players for dumber reasons than that. That was mean. But Justin Jackson out of Maryland, he's about 6'7", 230, tons of defensive versatility, 7'3 wingspan. He fits the mold of a valuable wing defender player overall in today's NBA. When you look at guys like Jay Crowder, Draymond Green, you know, all the wings in Boston, guys like that are valuable in today's NBA. Can guard multiple positions, defensive versatility, all that good stuff. So he's another one I'd look at. And then a couple of the mock drafts I saw, you know, guys like Amari Spellman, who's a center, Landry Shamet, who's a sharpshooter, probably a two guard, played some one in college, Malik Newman, another guy who's a dynamic scorer off the bench. So a lot of these guys are more one-dimensional, but at the same time, man, I'm very intrigued by these later draft picks, you know, with the 25 to 45 range. There's going to be some players there, and if the Kings can capitalize on that, I think that would be huge, because they need players. They need players. Superstars are great. I hope they get all the superstars at every pick, in every draft, in all of free agency. But you need role players. They need role players. And I think there's a good amount of role players in this draft, especially late. So that's one thing I wanted to get to. I have some other stuff as well. Some of the news coming out about this draft, or specifically one certain player and the Kings, is a little, I don't know. I try not to buy into everything I hear, but when you hear it from so many different sources, it makes sense. It's hard to ignore it. So Luka Doncic and the Kings kind of seem out on each other. Neither side really seems interested, and maybe it's, you know, the Kings here, Luka Doncic doesn't want to play here, so they're, you know, trying to save face by saying, well, we're not interested. Maybe that's just the case. Maybe neither are interested. But it's just kind of a weird situation right now. I've also heard he's not really interested in playing in Phoenix, which is another thing. I don't know. I don't love this kind of stuff from, you know, a guy who's not even in the league yet. But he's got options, so I guess that's why he can kind of, I don't know, try and dictate where he wants to go. Because if he really doesn't like it, he can just stay in Europe. So that's one that's kind of weird. But because of that, you know, the people are still mocking him to the Kings with Ayton going number one. But I don't know. It doesn't sound like it's really going to happen. I would like to be wrong, because I like Doncic as a player, and I think he would fit well with the Kings and their young core. But I don't know. It just sounds really unlikely at this point, which is a little weird. But because of that, you know, people are looking at different picks now for the Kings at that two spot. We've seen a lot of Marvin Bagley, who is intriguing, very intriguing, but we just haven't seen it yet from him. You know what I mean? Like, he played well, but is he just going to be a high energy big, or does he have more to his game? And one of the tough parts about the draft, and just the NBA draft and college basketball, is college basketball really doesn't always showcase every player's abilities, I guess you could say. Like, you know, he was in a rigid system at Duke, and you don't really get to go outside of it. So maybe he is that guy. Maybe he is the beast at number two that you need, that you can, you know, have develop great chemistry with Bogey and De'Aaron. But maybe not, because we haven't seen it yet. So that's one that's a little, I don't know. And I always like my bigs to be better defenders, and he's not quite that yet. Maybe he could become it, but I like defense out of my bigs. But he's the one that's been you know, projected to be there, to be their pick, ever since kind of the Luka Doncic news has come out. I also have seen Jaren Jackson Jr., who's probably the best defensive big in this year's draft. And I know there's some people that are actually really high on him. I know some people, some analysts believe that he's better than Ayton, that they would rather have Jaren Jackson over Ayton. But I don't know. Look, I'm not a scout, but I don't know about all that. But I do like Jaren Jackson as well. I think he's really intriguing. And as far as his defensive ability, because, again, I'm big on defense, I would, if Ayton's not there at two, I would definitely consider it. And then one that, I don't know, I'm really, really high on, but obviously the injury history would scare you, and you would need to know whether the back is okay or not. Michael Porter Jr., man. If somehow you can get a guarantee that his back is okay and that it's not something that's going to linger for the rest of his career, whew, the kid is nice. Michael Porter Jr. has game, and if he was healthy, I think he'd be looked at as the top pick in this draft. But the back scares people, man. It scares teams, it scares fans, it scares everyone. But he is sick. He's got ridiculous game. The KD comparison is, you know, anytime there's a 6'10 wing who can, you know, get buckets, of course the first comparison is KD, which is a little unfair for the kid. Not KD, but for Michael Porter Jr., but he also embraces it. He loves Kevin Durant, models his game after him, but to, you know, say the comparison is, you know, one of the best scorers of all time, that's tough, but he is a dynamic scorer, and he has the size to be a good defender and athletic ability as well. So I'm really intrigued by him. You know, obviously the medical would mean everything. That's basically what you would have to base that pick off of, so we will see. But man, he's appealing. He is very appealing. So options for the Kings in the first two rounds, we will see. I love the NBA draft. I cannot wait for it. It's the best. And they do such a great job too. Shout out to the NBA because they actually go draft, then free agency. We're in the NFL, it's free agency, then draft, which I hate that order. And I also love the fact that they do it back to back. You know, it's draft, and then about 10 days later, free agency starts. So I'm all about it. Can't wait. Love it. Hit me up on Twitter, by the way, at CTH415 with any of the questions you have about the draft or opinions. Do you agree with me? Do you think the Luka Doncic stuff is smokescreens? Do you agree about Michael Porter Jr.? Or do you think even with a healthy back, you'd pass on him? All that stuff, man. Get at me. Coming up next, we are going to go over some scenarios is what the Kings could or should do with the number two pick and other moves they might be able to make in free agency in the draft this year. That's coming up next on the Locked On Kings podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over some NBA draft stuff with Luka Doncic and Michael Porter Jr., where the Kings might look, and blah, 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 blah. Look, I love the draft, so you're going to get a ton of draft talk. I think that's what you guys want, too. But hit me up, let me know, because as I've always said, this podcast is for you guys. So if you're tired of draft talk and want me to talk about, you know, will Bruno Caboclo be back with the Kings next year, holler at me, at CTH415. But I'm a draft fiend, and just all the possibilities that come with the draft, I love it. So anyways, that was part of the first segment. Coming up now, I've had some questions and some inquiries about certain scenarios, and again, this is all just speculation, but I want to ask you guys something and let me know what you think. What would you trade the number two overall pick for? Is there no one? I mean, is it, we'd trade number two for KD, Clay, Draymond, and Steph? Or no, we're not trading that pick for anything because it's gold. Let me know, because there's a couple of situations out there, and I just never really even thought of it. I don't know why, maybe because I'm dumb, but with the Kings, number two overall pick, would you trade number two for Karl Anthony Towns? I would. Immediately. I would absolutely do that. And now there's, you know, so you'd have to match salaries and this and that, and maybe take on a bad contract from them like Gorgui Jang, which, again, it's a bad contract, but he's a serviceable player. He's just overpaid. That's one of the things that gets lost with a lot of bad contracts is, yeah, it's a bad contract. He can still play, though. But then there's bad contracts like Myers Leonard, who, you know, the guy can't find the floor, and he's making, you know, $11 million for the next 2 years, each year for the next 2 years. Like, that's a bad contract. Evan Turner is a bad contract. Gorgui Jang, overpaid, but the guy's serviceable. So anyways, back to the main point, though. Would you trade number two for Karl-Anthony Towns? Absolutely. Immediately. The thing with the number two overall pick, it's great in theory because, you know, technically you have the second best chance of finding a superstar. But you also have a chance of drafting Sam Bowie. You know, Michael Jordan goes one, Sam Bowie goes two. You also have a chance of getting Kevin Durant. Greg Oden goes one, Kevin Durant goes two. So, yes, you should be excited and happy with the number two overall pick. But if there's a situation out there to get a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns or get a guy like Kawhi Leonard, and now, again, I don't think the number two overall pick would get it done. That's kind of why, to me, it's so attractive, this hypothetical, this speculative, you know, situation. I totally would. I think those would be slam dunk moves for the Kings, especially Karl-Anthony Towns, because then you have a young core that's growing together with, you know, Bogey, Deeren, blah, 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 all those guys, as I've mentioned before. But I don't know if it's out there. I don't know if it could happen, but if I'm the Kings, I'll make a call. I'll hit up the T-Wolves. Hey, that young stud you guys got down there, you know, can I interest you in some Marvin Bagley Jr.? Huh? Number two overall pick, you know, stuff like that. So that was intriguing to me. And let me know, is there anything you guys would trade the number two overall pick for? Who specifically would you trade it for? Because I'm interested. I'm very interested because I think there's definitely some potential moves that they could make with that number two overall pick. Not that they, again, this is just all my stupid fantasy GM mind. So don't take it too seriously. But the thing is, there's rumors about Karl-Anthony Towns, Kawhi Leonard. There's rumors about stars, you know? So let's investigate. Let's play some fantasy GM. So hit me up. Let me know what you think, whether you would or wouldn't. If you love it or hate it, it's at CTH415. Here's a new one that has been floated about recently. The Denver Nuggets, picking 14th overall. As we know, they've tried to get rid of Kenneth Faried's contract for, I think, the first day he signed it. They've been trying to trade it. He's got 1 year left at 13 mil. That's short for million. If you're the Kings, and on the surface, immediately, I'm like, yeah, Kings, do it. You take on Kenneth Faried's contract, you get the 14th overall pick, boom, let's go. But then you think about it, and they'd kind of be running into the same problem they had last year and for the last couple of years, which is we have so many young guys, we don't have enough playing time for all of them. Now, if they're ready to move on from, say, Scal, you know, I don't really know who else. That's the only young player I could think they're ready to move on from. But what do you, again, I want your opinions on this. Would you take on Faried's contract, 1 year of Faried's contract, to get the 14th overall pick? Because also, that clears cap space next year. You know, that clears, you know, between, what, between Garrett Temple, who hasn't opted in yet, but I think will, Shump, who I think will opt in, Costa, who has, and then Faried, that would clear almost $40 million in cap space next year. I don't know. It's interesting, but again, like I said, I run into one of the same problems they've had before, and I think what really it comes down to is draft night. I think once that 14th pick rolls around, depending on who's there, if there's someone there that they love, then, yeah, you know, you do it. But if I wouldn't do it beforehand just to keep getting young players, because they don't exactly need it. They do have a young core. They have two solid picks. Well, one great pick, another good pick this year. So it was just interesting to me because immediately the Kings jumped off the page of me like, yeah, of course you would do that. And then you start thinking about some of the problems they had with all the young players they've had where they just don't really have time for them. There's only so many minutes out there. And, you know, a guy like Bogey getting minutes is more important than, you know, Malachi getting minutes. That's one of the things they ran into last year. So that's one thing. And back to the Karl Anthony Towns thing, another interesting part is the Kings do have a couple of tradable assets. They're not great. It's not jump off the page, slam dunk moves. But, you know, if you're making the Karl Anthony Towns move, the hypothetical Karl Anthony Towns move, a guy like Shump or Garrett Temple could be attractive to Minnesota or any team, really, because wings are a hot commodity in today's NBA. And Garrett Temple has shot 38% from three the last 2 years and can defend. Again, the contract, you know, might scare some teams off just because it's $8 million for 1 year. Shump, same thing, but he can defend. And that's something that there's not a lot of in the NBA. They're in high demand. So that's another thing. And even Costa, I mean, if it did happen with Minnesota, you know, they'd need another center, because they'd be trading Karl Anthony Towns. So anyways, that's just something I was thinking about. Hit me up. Let me know what you guys think, because I want to get your opinions, because I don't want to just force my opinions on you guys, except for Aaron Gordon to the Kings. That's one I will never let go of. but I want to hear what you guys think. Do you agree? Am I wrong? Am I crazy? Let me know. Coming up next, we're going to go through the NBA Finals. Warriors are up 2-0. Going to do a quick recap of that. And that's coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's up? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. A little NBA Finals recap. Warriors are up 2-0 on the Cavs. I don't think this has gone differently than people expected. Steph hits 9 threes. Warriors win by 20. The most intriguing part now is, do the Warriors kind of let their foot off the gas after that? You know, they escaped in game one in overtime, that they kind of brought it in game two. Now, do they continue to do that, or do they get cocky and arrogant like they have the history of doing and just kind of figuring we can beat these guys when we beat them? It's not a big deal. So we'll see. LeBron James is an absolute monster. Some of the stuff, I don't know. I don't want to rip him, but I just didn't love that, because it was tough. But after, you know, George Hill misses the free throw, J.R. Smith has the brain fart that he seems to always be having, that LeBron just seems so defeated, which I get. But at the same time, man, you had 5 minutes of overtime to still win the game. So whatever. I get it. It sucks. It's been a rough one for him. But real quick, and Kings fans, I know this is a tough subject for you, because I think Kings fans and the Kings are literally the 0.001% that is allowed to complain about officiating in one game. As we all know, I think it was Lakers-Kings game six, right? Free throw disparity, you know, terrible calls, all that. I think they actually have a gripe. But man, unless it's that lopsided, just do not complain about officiating. I know people look at the block charge call and this and that. First off, I think they ended up getting the call right. It was a block. How they got there, sure. You want to complain about that, that's fine. But then let's also go look back at the other 46 minutes or however long, 47 and a half minutes of that game, and see all the calls they missed on both sides. And I think it's a bad look to complain about officiating. Your team has every chance to win the game throughout 48 minutes of this game, and I just think it's a bad look. Kings fans, you do have the one out, though, because you had the one game that I think you had a legitimate gripe, where I do think the refs did cost the game. But that's neither here nor there. Just wanted to get that out there for all fans. I just think complaining about officiating is a bad look, or at least saying they cost you the game. That's ridiculous. Players cost you the game. J.R. Smith cost you the game. George Hill cost you the game. So anyways, that's one thing I want to get out there. Let me know if you do agree or disagree. Again, I think you guys are in the one spot where you're allowed to complain. because you did get screwed back in the day. But as far as recently, I just, players win and lose the game, not officiating. So that's it. I'm going to get off my soapbox, going to hop off this high horse that I'm on right now. As I've said 100 times, hit me up. This podcast is for you. Want to know what you think, where you're at. We'll have one tomorrow and one Friday as well. Thank you for being patient with me as I was out of town. And thanks for sticking around and listening. Come on back tomorrow because I will definitely be here. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.